Most projections suggest that the demand for oil will outstrip supply by about 2030, and this is generally talked about in terms of peak oil, or are oil reserves beginning to run out? But Professor Paul Stevens, Senior Research Fellow at Chatham House, doesn't believe that it has anything to do with the lack of oil in the ground. Instead, it's all about lack of investment on behalf of the international oil companies and the governments of oil-producing nations.
The international oil companies are not investing enough because they are giving money back to the shareholders. This is a perfectly rational thing for them to do in a capitalist system, because their function in life is to keep their shareholders happy. If they can't earn a rate of return on their projects at least as good as the rest of the sector, then they have to give money back to the shareholders. And this is a huge amount of money going out of the investment pot of the industry that in the 1970s, for example, following the oil shocks then, went into exploring for developing and producing new sources of crude oil. The producer government story is rather different. The producer governments are effectively faced with a problem about their depletion policies. What this means is they've got a choice that they can either leave the oil in the ground or they can produce it and do something with the revenue. The view at the moment, in many cases, is that leaving the oil in the ground will be a better investment for them, because if you believe that the oil price is going to carry on rising and the costs of producing the oil is going to fall, then it makes sense to wait. The problem is, if they produce the oil, they end up with a lot of money. The issue is, what are you going to do with that money? And they've got two options. They can spend it domestically, or they can invest it abroad. If they spend it domestically, they run a danger of suffering what we call resource curse. This is the observation that large oil windfall revenues should be good for an economy, but all the casual observations one makes if you look at countries like Nigeria and Venezuela is that it actually has a very negative effect. So their ability to get a return from domestic spending depends upon their ability to manage resource curse issues. And some countries are doing better than others, but a lot of them are struggling. The other alternative is to invest it abroad using the oil funds or sovereign wealth funds. The danger there, of course, is that it means your national assets go out of your control. So, for example, if you do something to upset the White House, does that mean all of a sudden you're finding that your national assets are being frozen or subject to some sort of control or regulation? So if you put all that together, what I'm suggesting is, assuming that there is a continued increase in oil demand, which is likely unless we have a very major economic recession, in 5 to 10 years down the road, we're going to run into what I call a supply crunch. Now, a supply crunch I define very simply as a situation where the excess capacity to produce crude oil goes to zero, and then we have some sort of an outage, some sort of geopolitical event, which means we lose supply. And in those circumstances, we then see a very large price hike in oil. Now, my concern is, at this point, we will see a lot of government intervention through energy policy. We don't really know what is good policy intervention and what is bad policy intervention. Part of the reason for the report was to make a plea to say, can we please have a sensible, informed discussion about what makes good energy policy, what makes bad energy policy, and how do we tell the difference between the two? Because it makes more sense to have that discussion now rather than wait for a crisis when everyone's running around like a chicken with no head.
And do you have some kind of idea of what you think good energy policy might be?
I mean, the sorts of policy interventions are those that correct market failure. For example, energy conservation is full of market failure. A particularly important source of that is a lack of information on the part of the consumers. Now, in those circumstances, governments have an obligation to intervene to correct the market failure. So, for example, at its simplest level, you can have appliance labelling, which tells people how much energy is being used in the appliance. But even that often doesn't work very well because people don't know what it actually costs to run the appliance. So another alternative would be to actually impose some sort of minimum efficiency standard on the appliances, along the lines of the CAFE standards in the United States, which apply to automobiles. The problem there, of course, was that the sports utility vehicles, the Chelsea tractors, were classified as light trucks and therefore didn't come under that particular heading. And there's lots of other examples. The sort of bad energy policy is the sort of policy that will give subsidies to farmers to grow corn to turn into ethanol, which one has to say is in the Northern Hemisphere a ridiculous idea. The idea that we are going to produce more food to turn into a liquid, to put into a large car, to drive down to a gym, to sit on a bicycle that goes nowhere for 20 minutes and drive home again is rather obscene in today's world. Those are examples of good and bad energy policy. But what I'm suggesting is that we need to think about how do we know the difference? I mean, are there any objective criteria that we can use to assess the policy? And then also, if we identify good energy policy, is this best done at a national level, at a regional level, at an international level?
That's Professor Paul Stevens, Senior Research Fellow at Chatham House.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.